Based upon your heart for us.
Good evening. Can you hear me? Am I being amplified? Wonderful. I've been looking for this big voice all my life. It's wonderful to have all you guys here. Thank you, Pastor and Pastor James, for having me here to speak. It's always a blessing to be able to talk to and to preach the Word of God, which saved me and can also save you and change your life. By way of introduction, really, it's not introduction, has nothing to do with this, but when the pastor asked me to preach, he said, hey, you want to preach? But when he sent it to me, he sent it to me on a text string with me and Mike Seeley on it. So when I looked at it, I said, I'm not answering this. I love Mike Seeley. He's a great guy. He's my brother. Okay, so we're going to be in John chapter 20, verse 19 through 20. I've been laboring over this for about a week. I went to a meeting at my job. They get together every Tuesday for like 30 minutes, and they kind of just look at a section of the Bible, and they just kind of talk about it. You know, it's an opportunity to talk about Jesus at work. I take it. You know, I take what I can get. But when we hit this passage, when we hit this section of scripture, a lady told me a story, and I will share with you guys that story in just a few minutes. But the passage kind of hit me kind of heavy, looking at this idea of presence, the presence of Jesus. Luke, John, turning mine over there. See, presence is it's a very interesting thing. When we're in the presence of our parents when we were a little bit younger, it would alter greatly what we would say, how we would act, and what we would do, how we even felt about certain things. The presence of God in our life is powerful enough to change us completely. Causes us to think about things that are above over the things that are below. Think about things that are eternal as opposed to things that are temporal. Now, in this section, the disciples, we're talking about the disciples. Now, as we think about and we look at the disciples literally walked with Jesus and were in his presence daily. Now, when he was taken from them that night from the garden, they no longer were in his presence. This is the time when we hear about Peter's denial. This is the time when we hear about the disciples scattering because of fear of what might happen to them. Even when even with all the time that they spent with Jesus, when he was away from them, it affected them emotionally and what they did. Now, after his crucifixion, Jesus showed himself to his disciples in the upper room. When in his presence, when his presence was returned to them, they were all changed once again. We are changed by being in Jesus' presence. Let's look at what Jesus' presence did for them and can do also for us. If you please stand for the reading of the Word of God. And we're in John chapter 20, and we're going to do verse 19 through 22. All right. Then the same day at even, being the first day of the week, and that's the same day that Jesus was resurrected, when the door was shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Father, we just thank you for your word, and we thank you for the truth of your word. Father, I ask that you would empower me this evening, Father, to proclaim the gospel of truth, Father, as you've outlined for me to do. Father, I ask that you would fill me with your words and not my own, Lord, and that you would use me to talk to your people this evening, Father, that there might be a true change in their hearts and in their desire for your presence. Lord, we thank you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, my proposition to you guys tonight is that the presence of Jesus brings peace, it brings joy, and also bring strength in our lives. Jesus' presence brings peace. Jesus' presence brings peace. In verse 19, we find that it says, once again, then the same day at even, being the first day of the week, when the door were when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in their midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. Now the lady, when we were in this meeting, the story she actually told was of her father. She said her father was in Vietnam. He worked at a supply base. He was an Air Force guy. At that supply base, there was an air raid, and there were bombs dropped. So he was huddled into a foxhole. And while he sat in that foxhole, he heard bombs blowing up around him. He could hear the screams of some of his friends and colleagues, or I can't think of the right word, but other soldiers. He could hear all of the things that were going on around. And he stood there, or sat there, and crouched in that foxhole, worried that he probably wasn't going to make it home. That when she told me that story, it was so palpable. I felt like I could almost touch what was going on there. When we look at what was going on in John chapter 20, we find that the disciples were in a pretty similar situation. They had the door locked because they were absolutely sure that someone was going to violently come and kick down the door and drag them away, just like they did Jesus. Something that happened around this whole thing is back in Matthew 27, you find the high priest going to the governor, telling the governor, you have to put a squad of Roman soldiers on the tomb, because if you don't, the disciples are going to come and they're going to take his body, and then it's going to look like he's resurrected. Then this whole movement is going to get way out of control and you can't control it. Disciples didn't grab his body. Jesus arose because he is God in the flesh. Now, at this point, I'm sure the disciples knew, and they were probably worried that that would be the reason why they would come kick down the door. So we see that Jesus' presence brings peace. Now, in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, for unto us a child is born, and this is talking about Jesus. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Wait, pay attention to this. The Prince of Peace. The one that's in full control of all the peace. The one that gives you peace, takes peace away. The one that has full dominion over peace. Jesus is the controller and the overall protector of all peace. Even after his horrible death on Calvary, Jesus rose victorious and still brought peace. Even when he was killed by the same people that he came to save, he still brought peace. He still brings peace into our lives as well. The road to true peace is only through Jesus Christ. When he came in and said, peace be unto you. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Sounds like peace to me. I don't know about you guys. I don't know how you guys associate peace, but sound mind is what I shoot for every day, and I only get that through Jesus Christ. Jesus brings peace because he is peace, but not only did he bring peace to them, but he also commanded peace. He also commanded peace. In Mark chapter 4, the disciples are crossing a sea. They did a lot of crossing of seas. The disciples were crossing the sea, and a great storm came, and the disciples were fearful for their lives. And here's Jesus, you know, laid in the boat. He's like, man, I'm good. Everything's all right. If you guys just depend on me, we'd be good. But he's laying in the boat, and they wake him up. It's like, you know what? You got to do something. And what does he do? Mark chapter 4, verse 39, and he arose, this is talking about Jesus, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace be unto you. Or be still, excuse me. Peace be still, excuse me. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Man, that's such a powerful thing. You do not forget something like that. It is an incredible thing to experience that. And the disciples did. Now, I was going to share this story, but he's not here, so it doesn't have the same bearing. So never mind, we'll throw that away. Jesus commanded peace with just a word. The winds listened to his command. There is no one but God that can command peace. When Jesus appeared, he commanded peace on the disciples. He just said the very few words, the few powerful words, peace be unto you. So he brought peace, he commanded peace, but even in him saying those few words, it reminded them of the peace that he brings. If we go back and look at what he said in Mark chapter 4, verse 39, he said, peace be unto you. In John chapter 29, he says, peace, or I'm sorry, Mark 4:39, he said, peace be still. John chapter 20, verse 19, it says, peace be unto you. When you hear that, it triggers something in their mind. Now, look, when I was or am at that point where I'm just about to get in trouble with my mother would look at me and she'd say, boy. So look, when I heard that and when I hear that even now, it lets me know I'm right at that point right before pain is about to come. So I probably should cool it out. When my wife calls me by my nickname, I know that she's trying to convey a sweet spirit to me. She's trying to bring me comfort she's just trying to encourage me, the fact that she actually loves me. I can hear that in the words that she say, but I can also hear that in the tone in which she says it. Hearing the word peace be unto you undoubtedly brought them back to the boat where Jesus had calmed the storm. Even to the hills of the Gadarenes, where a man that was a maniac cutting himself and doing all kinds of wild things, couldn't be contained, was sitting at his feet clothed and in his right mind. The countless people demons were cast out from, the sounds of his voice saying those words reminded them of the times of his perfect peace. Jesus showed up in that upper room and brought them peace. Because he is peace. He commanded peace over them and reminded them of the peace he commanded over the storms and over peoples and situations. Jesus' presence in our lives brings that same peace. You know, Dave Tice, he's a guy I listen to from time to time. He's out at Liberty View Baptist Church in Las Vegas. I enjoy listening to him. He says this, and he said it a few times, and I just kind of held on to it. He says, we are closer to Jesus than the disciples were because they could only touch him, but we have him inside of us. Is Jesus' presence in your life bringing you peace? Is Jesus' presence in your life bringing you peace? If it is, that's excellent. Glory to God. Keep walking the way you are. But if it's not, is it because he's not present in your life, maybe? So we find first that Jesus brought peace. Jesus' presence brought peace, but also Jesus' presence brought joy. In verse 20, we find in John chapter 20, verse 20, we find, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hand and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Now this is one day, this is day one of the resurrection. After his crucifixion, Jesus shows up and supernaturally enters the room. And the first thing I would think if I was there, I'd be like, whoa, 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 is this an angel or a demon? Because there's no such thing as ghost. Then he speaks peace over them and reveals his wounded hands inside to let them truly know he is him. Joy came from Jesus revealing himself. Joy comes from Jesus revealing himself. Matthew chapter 24, verse 4 through 5. I'll just read it from here if you'd like to write that down in your notes. Matthew chapter 24, verse 4 through 5 says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. He showed himself and he revealed himself to show them proof of who he was. He revealed himself to give them the assurance that he is following after the word of God, which says constantly, prove me. We can say that Jesus is tried and found very true. The disciples could say without a doubt that this is that Jesus of Nazareth. He is their friend. This is our master. This is our savior. And he is absolutely alive. No wonder they would be excited. I don't think it's a wonder. If my grandmother, who has passed away, would be alive right now, I would be ready to do a backflip. Now, realistically, I'm probably not going to do the backflip because it's going to cause some issues with me actually spending time with her, but I would be absolutely ecstatic to see her after she's already passed. Joy also came from Jesus proving his word. Now also in Matthew chapter 12, verse 39 through 40, it says, But he answered and said unto them, and this is Jesus speaking, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now, excuse me. A mother and a child went to a grocery store, and there were all kinds of wonderful goodies, including double-stuffed Oreos. It's a God-given thing. Amen, that's right. The mother tells the child that if your behavior is acceptable, I will purchase you some Oreos. The child complies and does as the mother says, and Oreos rain down from the heavens. And the child is overjoyed because the mother upheld her word. Jesus sacrificed his life for us and rose from the grave as he said he would. He proved he is God in the flesh. He proved his word is true. He proved we can trust his word. But he also proved that we are sinners. He proved we need his sacrifice on the cross. He proved that his joy is enough, or his grace is enough, excuse me, but his joy is enough as well. And that is more than enough to shout for joy for. More than enough. Now, when it was clear to the disciples who Jesus was, that they were in his presence, it brought them joy. Christian, does the presence of Jesus bring you joy? Are you allowing him to reveal himself to you? Are you proving his word daily? Or is it better to keep him at arm's length and to just completely avoid all that pesky conviction of unrighteous thinking and unrighteous deeds? Let me just share this quick thought with you before we move on. Paul, Silas, Peter, John the Baptist, John the Revelator, James, the brother of Jesus, David, Elijah, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Job, and even Jonah would not be recognizable names to you if they all kept God at arm's length. Allow Jesus to come close to you. Spend some time with him in prayer. Confess your sins and ask him to guide you away from temptation and give you the strength to resist those things. Build your relationship with him. Build your relationship with him. Read your Bible. Allow the Spirit to talk to you. Allow the presence of Jesus to change your steps and change you into the image of Jesus Christ and bring you joy. Psalms chapter 37, verse 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and his delight, and he delighteth in his way. Psalms chapter 16, verse 11 says, thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The Bible says it's worth it. The men of God will tell you it's worth it. The stories in the Bible tell you it's worth it. I'm telling you, it's worth it tonight. But you don't have to take my word for it. You can search your Bible as well yourself. I'd rather look like Jesus than the devil. Would you prefer to look like Jesus, or would you prefer to look like the devil? Jesus brought peace and joy to men that were in a state of serious fear, and he also brought them strength. Verse 22 says, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. These guys went from a point of absolute fear over to a point of peace, then to a point of joy. And from that point of joy, they went to a point of strength in receiving the Holy Ghost. That's a massive thought to be able to go through all four of those emotions in a very, very short time. Jesus gave them the power to proclaim the gospel. Now, there is none higher. There is no other that holds eternity in their hands. Jesus endowed them with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come unto you, And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Jesus gave them the power that they needed to proclaim the gospel. Jesus gave them the power that they needed to be able to tell someone else how they can go to heaven, how they can have full liberty and freedom from any sin, how they can be no longer in bondage to this world and to the prince of this world, but be a servant of God, which is much better than anything that the devil wants from you. He also gave them the power to become the sons of God. John chapter 1, verse 12. Turn over there. I always get funny with the pages. I don't want to rip them. Okay. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 continues on with that thought after just becoming a son of God. This is talking about Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Ghost of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Now, your earnest is the thing that's intended for you even before the time. It's a promise that's intended, it's a thing that's intended as a forepayment for you. It's a forepayment. Giving of the Holy Ghost is your promise that you're going to heaven. That sealing from the Holy Ghost is your promise that you're going to heaven. The Holy Ghost is your promise from God that what he said is right. What he said is true. What he said we can hold and depend on. And he gave us that power so that we can hold on to that and not forget that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, it says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." That victory is over death. We don't have to touch, we don't have to taste death. We don't have to feel death anymore. We definitely will die physically, but we will not be separated from God for all eternity like some of the people that we see every day. That is a blessing. That is a powerful blessing. And lastly, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." The mark of being a Christian and a child of God is the Holy Spirit indwelling you. To have that indwelling, we must first understand a few things. First, we must understand that the Bible teaches that we are all sinners. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Every one of us has made that bad decision. Every one of us has driven that divide between us and God. The Bible also teaches in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, that we owe a debt to God for our sins. For the wages of sin is death. The thing that we can expect because of our sin is death. The thing that we deserve because of our sin is death. But in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, we get the "but God," which is always strong every time you see that in the Bible. "But God commendeth," or showed, "his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." We can return back to Romans 26, 23, which says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now, what do we do to have it? What do we do to get that gift? How do I accept that gift? Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 10, says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. All we have to do is agree with God that we're a sinner in need of a Savior. Believe that Jesus Christ is that Savior and call out to God and just say that I'm a sinner. And Jesus Christ died for me, and I accept the payment that Jesus Christ paid for me on that cross. Admit, believe, confess. Now the disciples went from deep fear, the thought that someone was going to come in and violently kick down the door and drag them all away, into peace. Jesus showing up in the room, supernaturally bringing peace, commanding peace over them, and reminding them of the perfect peace that he had casted over many and in many situations. Transitioning that peace into joy and revealing himself as really being that Jesus. And proving or showing true the word of God. And from that joy into strength, giving them the power to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And also the power to become sons of God. Where are you today, Christian? Are you fearful and without the peace of God? Are you at peace but missing the joy of God? Do you have joy but are missing the power of God? Are you missing God completely? Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior this evening, I urge you not to leave these doors without having him. And if you do have him, I urge you to build your relationship with him, that his presence might be in your life, that he might conduct peace over you, that he might fill you up with the joy and give you that power to proclaim the gospel. Please, please stand up and close your eyes. And I'll ask the pastor to come.
Your head bowed, your eyes closed. Our instrumentalist begins softly to play a meditation. I wonder, has God chosen to speak to your heart? And I believe this, that God, every time we meet here at Terry Baptist Church or anywhere, the gospel proclaimed, chooses and desires to us. But I guess the real question would simply be this: have you allowed God?